So you're the boss, but you can't get out of those things.
No. It's the way it goes. You know, we're more worried about the 1919 vintage at this particular moment than we are, winning awards. I mean, it's as lovely as it is. We need to be focusing on the next one.
So that would be the 2019.
Oh, 2019, of course. Because I've been in this industry a hell of a long time, Simon. You've probably worked that one out.
I was going to... Good morning, Warwick. It's Paul here. I was going to say, I don't think you're that old to be looking at the 19.
No, mind you, I did. I was chair of Seppelt's Field and worked... my first main wine job was general manager at Seppelt's. And so, we, 100-year-old wines are not something new.
Not uncommon.
No. And you couldn't pull a string to get over there and get a break?
No, too much to do. But look, it was a great award. The International Wine and Spirits Competition has got to be one of the leading accolades that you can receive in the world today. And, it was amazing news. We nominated 14 wines for the show, and all 14 received medals.
Wow. Congratulations.
Which is not common, apparently. There were gold medals for the 2016 Mort's Reserve Riesling. There was another gold for the 2016 Kilimans Run GSM, which we're very proud of too, because that's a wine that sells for around $20 a bottle.
Yeah, it's a great wine.
But it is a goodie. And but the big gong, I guess, from a wine point of view, was the 2014 Oracle Shiraz was awarded the best Shiraz in the world.
Congrats. That's brilliant.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, look, it is. And it's actually the third time that Oracle has received that gong, or at least twice, the International Wine and Spirits Competition, and also once at the International Wine Challenge. So as a wine, it's doing something right. And then the other big news we got, I guess, with all of that, we received the award as Australia's best producer at the International Wine and Spirits Competition as well.
James,
they cleaned up. It's brilliant.
It's not bad. Not bad. I quite often say to people, you've got to be very lucky, I think, to get a best in the world or what have you. But you've also got to be in the right space, I guess. And
well, you've got to have a fairly handy wine to start with, I would have thought.
Yeah, there is that, and it's actually the fifth time in 8 years across three different sources that we've been nominated or named Australia's leading winery. James Halliday rated Killiecanoon Australia's Winery of the Year in 2013, and then there's a show called Mundus Vini in Germany, which is attached to Pro Wine, and they've rated Killiecanoon Australia's Winery of the Year in 2010, 2017 and 2018.
Wow. Well, you're doing something right then, aren't you?
I think that it all starts in Clare. we've certainly dabbled with some wines from different places, but I think one of the big issues is that Clare has a really big diurnal temperature difference, and, that means hot days, cool nights.
Yeah.
And what that tends to deliver is powerful elegance. You get really ripe varietal character, but you also get long natural acidity, and it makes the wines quite unique. It's what makes Clare Riesling so amazing. But that same characteristic is very apparent in every variety.
So, does it do anything that diurnal aspect? Is there anything to do with the tannin structure as well, or is it the acid going into the reds as well?
I'm sure it all comes into play. But as far as I understand, it's largely the acid structure. It's a bit like warming the fruit during the day and then putting it in the refrigerator at night, and it just keeps everything much more crisp. It just keeps all those acids in really good shape.
Yeah, the stunning. The Riesling's amazing, aren't they?
Great region for it. And that's everything you said there. I tell you what, you're making me quite jealous, actually.
It's not such a bad place. I'm just wandering around, and my front lawn is beautiful this morning.
I could hear the wind. Yeah, and I was going to say, what is it like over there this morning?
Oh, it's gorgeous. Absolutely wonderful. And, yeah, no, it's, but it has been cold overnight, not surprisingly.
So you've got... Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, the other thing about Clare, I've moved up here about 2011, and it's the diversity of the terroir is... I've been to most regions in the world, and, most regions are really defined by their homogeneity. I mean, what makes them the same? Mm. Clare is quite remarkable. It's only, 30 or so kilometres north-south and 10 or 15 east-west, but the altitudes of the vineyards range from about 300 to over 600 metres above sea level. You've got amazing changes in aspect and also rainfall. But also, the most important thing is that the soil structures are incredibly different as you go from west to east, because some seismic activity 500 million years ago when the Flinders Ranges, Adelaide Hills and Clare Ranges were formed, basically tilted and bent the layers of soil under the surface 90 degrees, so that the different layers, different ages of rocks were all exposed to the atmosphere. And so as you move across Clare, you genuinely find that it's an appellation of 1,000 terroir. It's just whichever way you go, things are a little bit different.
Wow. Because when we look at the Rieslings particularly, you've got, Watervale has a distinct style, different to Polish Hill River.
Yep.
And then even up where the Barrys are, up the other end.
Armagh direction, yeah.
So, yeah. And are you saying there's even more variety than that?
Absolutely, there is. It's one of the biggest. We're currently trying to work through defining sub-appellations, and they can easily come up with about 7 or 8. But if you dig further, it's one of those regions where pretty much every vineyard has a slightly different characteristics, and a lot of it is to do with that, that geology, what's going on under the surface, I mean, it's one of the reasons why so many varieties go so well in Clare, because it's a matter of site selection.
Yeah, right.
But what Killer Canoon's done, and I think done probably better than most, is we've leveraged that diversity by having vineyards stretched from the south to the north of Clare. And what we find is that in cool years, the warmer sites do better. In warmer years, the cooler sites do better. They all behave differently because of all of that diversity. And we have very specific style and quality parameters set for each of the marks, like Oracle Shiraz. And we change the vineyard recipes ever so slightly each year, depending on the vintage circumstances. So this is where Kevin comes into his own. He's an absolute master composer.
Yeah.
We keep all the components separate. And each year he's trying to compose a wine that meets the standard, exceeds the standard set by the same wine, through its pedigree.
Yeah. And that is the thing about the best winemakers is they are that, as you say, composer. They are master blenders as such. And I think it's more and more it seems that people are keeping all the blocks separate and all the parcels separate, and to be able to then do that, because in years gone by, you dump it all in, all the Shiraz goes in, and that's your Shiraz. But it was a wasted opportunity, wasn't it?
Absolutely, and I've worked with some pretty big companies over the years, and certainly the more commercial companies will tend to operate in that way. One of the things I like to do, if you walk through a winery, you look at the size of the fermentation vessels, and even though Killer Canoon's a reasonable size, all of the fermentation vessels and everything are incredibly small. And so you can just see that this is a winery that's designed around executing excellence.
Mm. Oh, what a fantastic place to work at.
Oh. It's not so bad.
What sort of production do you do, in total? How many cases?
We're about 100,000 cases,
which
is, it's not small, it's not big, it's not small.
How's the 2019 vintage looking?
Oh, look, there's not a lot of water in the subsoils, so we're expecting that yields will be down a bit. It's a pretty cold, dry lead up to vintage. So yeah, we're sort of expecting that it'll be lower yield, but pretty intense on the flavour profiles. Yeah.
Mm.
And everything at this stage looking a little late. I'm in my garden in Watervale, and all the everything's flowering beautifully at the moment. Whereas in mid-November you're not expecting to see that.
So if you could order your weather from now to harvest, you'd be wanting some water, obviously.
Yeah, we wouldn't have minded a bit more rain, but a bit of rain between now and Christmas would be lovely, just to freshen things up, get a bit of water into the soils, and after that, more like today, all the way through autumn would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are sort of saying the same thing. I think, Warwick, you know, a bit of rain now just to finish off.
Would be lovely.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Mm. So no problems around flowering time, so you feel you're going to have some reasonable quantities?
Yeah, look, we did have a little bit of frost to touch back through the region. It was sort of inversion frost, so it sort of just hit random parcels.
Right.
We won't know the full effect of that until later, but now everything's looking pretty good.
And so what else is on for Killer Canoe? What are the things that we need to be keeping our eye out for? Because I do enjoy the cellar door experience there. It's sort of, there's an education aspect to it, I find.
Yeah, the sort of things that I've talked about are, in terms of what makes Clare different and the Killer Canoe philosophy are the sorts of things we like to convey to any cellar door visitor. We don't have free tasting. It's all paid tasting, and our wines are under enomatic. Mm-hmm. And we've found that since we've gone to that, we have no trouble opening up all of our best wines. I mean, any visitor to the Killer Canoe Cellar Door today will find that 2014 Oracle under enomatic alongside of the Yatunga Shiraz, which is made from a vineyard that was planted in 1865. And those wines are $80 and $250 a bottle each. But any visitor can try those wines with a small fee. And then they get that fee back if they purchase. So it's not such a bad thing.
Yeah, the enomatic just is a game changer, isn't it, really?
It is.
Like, because you'd get 6 weeks out of those bottles, if...
Oh, not... look, they say 2 weeks. We change them over at one.
I guess
being overcautious. I mean, people coming from all over the world to try our wines, we're wanting to make sure that they're in the very best shape.
And again, it gives them the opportunity to try those wines that a lot of them wouldn't get the chance to try otherwise.
That's it. That's great.
And,
there's nowhere that stocks the full range that we do at Cellar Door. And so, we really try to make sure that anyone coming to Cellar Door do have an amazing fine wine experience.
That's the thing. It's a fine wine experience,
Yeah. Well, not many people are paying $250 a bottle, are they? To be real.
No.
To have a look at that wine, is extraordinary.
It's an experience you don't always get. Yeah,
definitely.
It's a great chance.
I think that's it's absolutely a must go to when you're in Clare, as far as the Killer Canoe and Cellar Door.
Absolutely it is, and I think the great news is too. There's so many fantastic wineries here, and they're all a bit different. And I don't think the region makes a bad wine, to be honest. And we've got some fantastic restaurants and places to eat and drink. It's it is really I think an amazing region to come to for 3 or 4 or 5 days. And
I think that's probably the point, Warwick. You want at least 3 days because you've got. It is further than the other regions. It's a couple of hours, isn't it, from Adelaide? So you need to consider that drive so that you have a good third day or fourth day or whatever, the day you have to leave.
You've had the experience, though, for the last 3 days.
Give yourself maybe 3 days of running around doing tastings, and then you've got your leaving day.
And there's plenty more, too. Burra's got some really interesting heritage experiences, and there's Martindale Hall where Picnic and Hanging Rock was filmed, and as I say, plenty of good food and wine experiences. So,
there's a lot Black to Stump do. Pub.
If not everyone's absolutely obsessed with wine, there's plenty of other things to do as well.
Yep.
And indeed, for those you know, intrepid Flinders Rangers tourists, you know, we're right on the way. And, you know, it's a great place to break the stay.
That's a good thought, actually. And then there's also the Riesling Trail cycling, like along the old railway line, isn't it?
That's correct. Mm. Yeah, love that. Do a bit of that myself. And, you know, so I was going to say it takes about an hour. It takes me an hour. It takes other people maybe a lot 2 hours or something. To, not try to brag or anything, but, you know, I do love my cycling.
Yes. Yeah, so you're that bloke who's in the Lycra just flying past people.
Oh, not very often in Lycra. I tend to, you know, too many people know me up here. They give me, take photos and give me a hard time. So happy to cycle past you in jeans.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Well, it's a great region. Things I love, you know, the Seven Hill Pub and the fantastic cellar down underneath. And,
well, that gives me a lead in, Simon. I just bought the Watervale Hotel.
Did you? Oh,
yeah.
That is a good pub.
It is a good pub, but it's going to be a lot better. I'm
good.
Actually,
please, someone's doing something with that.
Look, I've had it.
Congratulations.
I've had it since February. I'm actually getting married here in my gardens next Saturday to Nicola Palmer, whose family owns Gilligalee. And
congratulations.
Thank you.
There's a famous photo of her father. Then I would say.
Yep.
Covered in red wine all over his T-shirt.
Yeah, that's him.
Been pumping over or something, and something's gone, you know, awry.
That's definitely a famous picture of Dave. And, she's Nicola's chef. And so between us, we've been planning the development of the Watervale Hotel to become what we're hoping to be, one of the country's best ethical epicurean experiences. So we're turning into a restaurant in a pub, and we're actually developing our farm here into an organic permaculture farm, and we'll be growing as much produce as we possibly can for the plate. And we've bought a property straight across the road from the pub as well that we're going to develop into a fine wine bottle shop, Providor store, and have Sunday farmers markets, and you know, so that in my spare time, you know, this is the reason why I can't get time to go to London, mate. I've got to wait tables.
Oh, that's exciting! What's the timeline on having the, you know, some of these things implemented, do you reckon?
Well, some of them are already implemented, but we've already improved the wine list and the food quality, I think. And actually, Nicola's brother Dan is an earth mover, and he's currently moving a lot of dirt from out the back. We're putting in a big beer garden.
Because you had a sort of outdoor area, didn't you? There were some outhouses and things.
Yeah, look, what you might remember, there's a building out the back of the Watervale Hotel. It actually was an old jail built in 1868.
Yeah, that's it.
And we're going to... It used to be called the Hell Hole, and we're going to renovate that into a private dining experience. So you'll be able to have a lock-in degustation at the Hell Hole, the Watervale Hotel.
Clever,
very clever.
All good fun. Yeah, the publican used to be able to lock up the drunk and disorderly and wait for the police to arrive, and I'm thinking that's a bloody good idea.
That's a great call, yeah.
That's funny. So is the pub always, previous to you owning it, was it always open? Or was it, because it seemed to be sort
No, that was one of the problems. Mm. It was only open 4 days a week, and Irene, the previous owner, bless her cotton socks, you know, would close it for 2 weeks over Christmas, New Year, and, you know, she wouldn't open for crazy days like Melbourne Carp or anything, because that was on a Tuesday. She doesn't open Tuesdays, and, so she basically lived in the place and opened it when she felt like it. We've now got a, you know, open 7 days philosophy, and we're actually serving shared plate meals from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. all day dining, and the reason for that is because, particularly on a Sunday like today, people have a late breakfast.
Yeah,
they want to go to a few wineries, and they're saying, right now I'm hungry. What time is it? It's 3 o'clock, and most of the places are closed. In fact, I think we'd be the only place open 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. Serving lunch. So, we have an all-day dining scenario because, you know, tourists work to a different clock.
You took the word straight out of my mouth. That's exactly what the tourists need, Warwick. Yeah.
You probably have had nearly, well, other people, not me necessarily, but you probably had your fill nearly of cellar doors. So you might have done four, and maybe you just want a beer, and you want something to
sit down,
something before dinner. Yeah. Yep, perfect.
Or do a late lunch, early dinner.
I reckon you're on a winner because
and that's exactly what people do. They'll quite often come in, they'll have lunch at four, and then they'll shoot back to Adelaide, you know, and forget dinner. Who cares about dinner? You know, so there's different things you can do, and I'm actually loving my role as sommelier. I am getting to try all the wines from the valley, and it's, you know, you do get a cellar palate, and so it's been really amazing actually, just to be looking at all the different wines that's coming in from all the different places, and it's really reinforced that point that I made earlier about the diversity of the Clare Valley. It really is quite amazing, and you know, I love it when people come in and say, "I want a Sauvignon Blanc," and I say, "Well, how about trying this KT Vermentino or Eldridge, you know, Semillon Sauvignon Blanc?"
Opening their doors, opening their eyes.
Yeah,
that's brilliant, Warren. Yeah.
Unreal. So, mate, we unfortunately
you've got to talk to Martin Lightfoot. I haven't seen Martin for a long time.
I haven't. Well, he'll be hearing you saying that now, I'd say. But mate, I've got to come over to Clare and come to the Watervale pub.
You do indeed.
Because the front bar always had a really good feeling, even though the place wasn't pumping as it would have once. But it sounds like it's about to again. So
yeah, and look, our front bar, we're not going to change that much, and it's basically full of wine people and viticulturalists. Mm. You know, most days.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Unfortunately, the same ones every day. But you know.
Well, I think David from down at O'Leary Walker, I've noticed him in there.
He might have been. Yeah, he might be one of the ones I'm talking about. Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds awesome. So I reckon we'll check back in with you into next year and see how you're tracking with that and how the wedding went and all that sort of thing.
Perfect.
So
thanks, mate.
Enjoy that. Hey.
Thank you very much.
Best of luck with that, Warwick.
Bye.
Thanks, Warwick.
Thank you.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.